Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Tes, and we're starting at the very top of the Amud. Zok the Mishnah, Sukkah Yishana. Sukkah Yishana literally means an old sukkah. But as we'll see in the Mishnah shortly, we don't mean an old sukkah like from ancient times, from the Romans or something. A Sukkah Yishana means a sukkah which either is more than 30 days old, or that it was not manufactured for purposes of sukkahs. In other words, it was a sukkah that was put up for the summer. People didn't have air conditioning. They wanted to be able to go and take a picnic outside without having to worry about the burning sun. So they made these little shacks or huts, and they would sit in them, and they would sleep in them, and they would drink in them, etc. So this type of sukkah was not made l'shem sukkahs. It was made for general purposes. Is that a problem? As we'll see, it's a machlokes beishami beisil, beishami poislin, or beisil machshirin. Then why would we speak about it being an old sukkah? So the Mishnah explains, Ve'izi sukkah yishana. What's the definition of an old sukkah? Koshi asu'ah koidim lechag shloishim yoim. If it was put up more than 30 days before Yontif. Yontif comes out on Tes Vav Tishrei. So if it was put up before Tes Vav Elul, it's called the Sukkah Yishana. But at that time, what you can do is say, it's the beginning of Elul, you don't want to wait until the last moment, and you want to put up a sukkah. According to Beis Shammai, what you do is you make a statement, I'm putting this up, L'shem Chag HaSukkos. And then even Beis Shammai would agree it's okay. Avl Masol L'shem Chag. If you made L'shem Chag, like we just said, Afil Matchilas Hashana, Ksher, even if it's a year ago, or even 10 years ago, you can have an old sukkah, 20 years old, as long as when it was put up initially, you said, I'm doing it L'shem Mitzvah Sukkah, says Beis Shammai, then it's kosher. However, if it's within 30 days of Sukkah, you don't have to make any statement. It's assumed that it's L'shem Sukkah. Why? Says Rashi, because everybody within the last 30 days before Sukkah is already in the spirit of Sukkah. Because, as we know, it says in Masechtas Pesachim, She'alna v'dorshim v'hilcheis ha-Pesach, and v'hilcheis ha-Chag, and v'hilcheis ha-Atzeres, shloishim yoim koidim, and so therefore for the last 30 days, right before Yontif, everybody's mindset is Yontif, Yontif, Yontif. Especially when it comes to Sukkot, everybody's buying their Arba Minim, everybody's making sure to get a nice sukkah, a noy sukkah, and everybody's busy with sukkahs. So automatically, if you put up a sukkah within 30 days, by definition, it's considered to be a sukkah l'shem chag. However, if you do it before 30 days, there is no reason why people should think it's for chag. People think you just want to have a nice additional shed in your backyard. You want to have a nice little hut to be able to get together with for a picnic or whatever. So therefore, at that point, you'd have to make a clear statement. Rabboisai, I'm putting up this sukkah l'shem chag, and then it will be kosher. This whole discussion is only according to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, none of this is necessary. The important thing is, whenever you put up the sukkah, to have kosher schach on the top, and to have kosher defanes on the side. When I say kosher defanes, they shouldn't be too tall, they shouldn't be too short. The space of the sukkah should be at least, according to Revi, arba al arba. Put up kosher schach on the top from psoilus goyren v'yekev. That's not makabel tuma, etc., etc. And then it will be kosher. It makes that you do not have to have a sukkah l'shem chak. Zok the Gemara. Kum tochois, bottom line, what's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Do you have to put up a sukkah l'shem chag l'shma? Or can any hut that meets the dimensions and requirements of sukkahs, would it have the din of a kosher sukkah? Freitimar, my time the Beis Shammai. Where does Beis Shammai come from that it has to be a psanasiya l'shma? L'shem sukkahs. Omer Krokus, it says in the pasuk, chag ha-sukkah shivas yomim l'Hashem. Chag ha-sukkahs l'Hashem. Sukkah asuyu l'shem chag b'inah. I need a special sukkah that's made l'shem chag, l'shem Hashem. If you look at the Rashi, right after the Mishnah, Psuk l'shem chag, the Siv Sukkos l'Hashem, l'shem mitzvas ha-melech. When I'm putting up this hut, this shack, I'm not doing it because I want to have a nice place. I'm doing it l'shem Hashem, l'shem chag, l'shem ha-melech. That's Bishamay. U'beisil, what is Beisil? L'chayra, Bishamay has a point. Chag Sukkos l'Hashem. How do I know that the wood of the sukkah is osur the entire 7 days? In other words, that you're not allowed to have hanoa from the sukkah. It's miyuchad l'Hashem, but that's not enough. B'tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira adds and explains this drasha. Kishem shechal shem shemayim al hachagiga, kachal shem shemayim al hasukkah. Just like there's a shem shemayim on the chagiga. What does it mean, shem shemayim al hachagiga? Says Rashi, that means that until you're makdir the emurin of the carbon chagiga, it's osir mano. You're not allowed to eat the carbon. As long as this carbon was alive, you couldn't eat it, you couldn't shecht it for your own private purposes, because after all, you were makdish it for purposes of a carbon legavoya, for sham lechagiga. When's the first time you'll be able to go and eat from the carbon? After you do all of the avoida, which would mean, of course, the zrikas adam, as well as the haktoras or emurim. After that, says Rashi, then you can start eating from this carbon chagiga. Ah, but until that point, the carbon chagiga is awesome. Is Zokti Yomarit. Just like a shem shechal shem shemayim al hachagiga, kach chal shem shemayim al hasukkah. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, chag hasukkah is shivas yomim l'Hashem. So I darshan the smichus of chag to sukkah is ma chag l'Hashem, chag meaning the korban shalmei chagiga, av sukkah l'Hashem, the sukkah also has to be l'Hashem, meaning that it is osur behano'o. The carbon chagiga is osir banoah before the haktoras veimurim, and the sukkah is osir banoah throughout the 7 days of sukkahs. So I learned that from the chag hasukkahs l'Hashem. Bottom line is, now I have the same pasuk being used by Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel for different purposes. Beis Shammai is learning from this the din, the asiya, the binyan hasukkah has to be l'Hashem lishma. Beis Hillel is learning from this pasuk that just like the Karm Chagiga is Osir Bahano'a prior to Haktoris Oimurin, so too the Sukkah is Osir Bahano'a throughout the Chag Hasukkahs. Frank, you want to be sure? Yes. It's not Ma'akib B'Dievet. You're not allowed to eat from the carbon until the Haktoras Emurim. You're right, if the Emurim get lost, if they get Tomei, if they get burned, whatever, you're right, but the Evan is not Ma'akiv, but the Chatchila, you're not allowed to eat from the carbon until after the Haktoras Emurim. Haktoras Emurim. Yes? I'm sorry?
It's a little bit parallel to the Chetza and Gavra.
Okay, how is it parallel?
That the
Chetzah
is
Beis Shammai,
the
Gavra
is the Asiyah,
intention
of the person.
Aha.
And wood is the
Gavra,
is the Chetzah.
I see. So what you're saying is that Kun Beis Shammai, the Chag Asukkos Hashem, is telling us a din in the Asiyah, that the Asiyah has to be done Lishma, while and therefore who does the Asiyah? That would be the person, that's, you're saying that's the Gavra. Well, according to Beis Hillel, we're talking about the Atzi Sukkah, which is the Chavtza, and that's Osabana. Okay, Yishakoyach David. So that's how the Gemara learns the drasha so far. Freit Gemara, u'Beishami namim b'boi le'lohachi. Beishami also agrees that the Sukkah is Osir for the 7 days, and therefore he also learns the same drasha of Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, that Chag Hasukkos, that Sukkah's got to be like Chag, and that it's Osir Bano'a, etc. So Ibazoi, how does Beis Shammai know his din of the Asiya Lishma? Says Imar, you know what? Einachanani. You're absolutely right. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel darshan the pasuk Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yamim LaHashem the way Beis Hillel darshans it, which is the way that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira darshans it, which means that you have to be careful not to have hano'ah from the Atzi Sukkah throughout the Yom Tov HaSukkos. Everybody agrees to that rush. So where does Beis Shammai get his din of Asiyah Lishma? Oh, Ksiv Krachrin, I have another pasuk. Chag HaSukkos Tasilcha Shivas Yomim. What's the right from this pasuk? Zokti Yimara, Sukkah HaSuya L'Shem Chag Be'inan. Chag HaSukkos Tasilcha, you gotta go and make a Chag HaSukkos. Now, where does it say anything about that the Asiyah has to be Lishma? After all, it doesn't even say the word Lashem over here. What's the Raya? So Rashi tells us you have to go and turn the words around slightly. If you look at the Rashi about a quarter down the Amud, 18 lines from the top, says Rashi, Chag HaSukkos Tasa. Go and darshan, Sukkos Tasa Lechag. Sareis HaMikra V'Dorsheo. Sareis HaMikra means sometimes you have to turn around the words in the Pasuk, and you darshan them. So don't darshan Chag HaSukkos Tasa, but rather Sukkos Tasa L'Chag. Ah, so the Sukkah that you're making can be just any structure, even though it's a kosher structure in terms of that you made sure that the Schach is really the best bamboo in that area, and the walls are beautiful, and you have no Sukkah. The important thing is the Sukkah has to be made Tasa L'Chag, L'Shem Chag. Oh, since it has to be the Shem Chag, if you have a structure that was built more than 30 days before, unless you make a declaration that this is L'Shem Sukkis, it's called a Sukkah Yishana, and Beis Shammai says that it's possible. Beis Hillel says, I darshan the Pasuk a little bit differently, that Chag HaSukkos Tas L'Chos Shivas Yomim. The Gemara Mi'atz Hashem later on Daf Chav Zayin. The Gemara is going to have a machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbanan. What happens if a person built a sukkah before Yom Tov, and unfortunately there was a big storm, and the sukkah fell down on Yom Tov? Can I build a new sukkah or rebuild the sukkah on Chol HaMoed? Would that be a kosher sukkah, yes or not? We're not talking about now the inyan of Meleches Dabar HaOved. That is not the concern. The concern is, when you build a sukkah, does it have to be a sukkah of 7 days? Or can you build a sukkah for 3 days? Or for 5 days? And that's a machloikis later on in Daf Chav Zayin. And Beis Hillel holds, Chag HaSukkos Tas L'Chos Shivas Yomim, you can rebuild your sukkah on Chol HaMoed. It'd be better if you didn't have to, then you can build your sukkah even on Chol HaMoed, and that's what the pasuk is telling you, Chag HaSukkos Tas L'Chos Shivas Yomim, even during the 7 days, you can build your sukkah. Even, you wouldn't build it on Yom Tov, but you can build it during Chol HaMoed. So if you have this drasha, then what does Beis Shammai do with this? Well, Beis Shammai Svira, look, Reb Lezer. Beis Shammai, in fact, disagrees with that drasha. He holds like Reb Lezer. The Omer Ein Oysen Sukkah B'Chor L'Chol HaMoed. And in fact, the Gemara is going to tell us in Daf Chav Zayin that Reb Lezer learns the exact same pasuk, but he learns it in reverse. And that is, Chag HaSukkos Tas L'Chos Shivas Yomim. If you want to be Yoitza in a sukkah, it has to be a sukkah that was built for 7 days. A sukkah that was built on Chol HaMoed, by definition, is only being built for 5 or 6 days, because the first day of Yom Tov is already passed. No good. So Machlokes Mechem Daf Chav Zayin will go into that in greater detail. But the point of our Gemara is that Beis Hillel says that I need this pasuk to go and tell you that you can build a sukkah during Chol HaMoed, and therefore that's why I don't subscribe to Beis Shammai's limud that the sukkah has to be made l'shem chag. Frank Dimara. But let me ask another kasha on Beis Hillel from the mitzvah of tzitzis. We have concluded here by the mitzvah of sukkah that you do not have to make a sukkah l'shma. I'll show you from tzitzis that it does have to be done lishma. So it's still less than Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The Om Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, asa'a min ha-koitzen u min ha-nimen u min ha-garden psula. Min ha-sisen kishera. What our Gemara is talking about is, you have a beged, which is four-cornered, and you have to put tzitzis on that beged. And the person says, you know what? I don't need to go and buy or make or spin separate tzitzis, because look at the bottom of this garment. There are strings which are hanging loose, loose threads. What I could do is use those threads and make them into tzitzis. Now, what exactly are koitz and nimen and garden? They're all basically the same concept, that in the sewing or weaving process, you have strings attached, you have threads at the bottom, and you just want to use those strings or threads for the strings of your tzitzis. Let's see the exact definitions. If you look in the Rashi, Rashi's girsa was slightly different than ours in the sense that it's in a different order, but he covers all of the three. If you see Minakoitzen is smack in the middle of the Amud, of the Rashi. Minakoitzen is a Rashi. Chutin, shenotku b'shesi. As you know, when you're weaving on a weaving loom, you have the shesi v'erev. Shesi are the vertical strings, which are called the warp, and the erev is, or the orev, is the horizontal strings, which are called the woof, the warp and the woof. So you have the chutin, shenotku b'shesi. As you're weaving on your weaving loom, unfortunately some of the chutin, some of the threads on the chassis, on the vertical, have torn, or for that matter, you ran out of the of thread, and therefore, what do you do after all? Thread doesn't last forever. Thread eventually, if it's 50 yards, 100 yards, well, when you get to the end of that thread, you got to the end of your rope, so to speak. What do you do? V'koshin oyson, so you have to go and take new thread, and you have to go and tie it. Tie the old thread with a new thread. Utluyin l'rashayin, b'begin v'achashin nerag. What happens after you tied it up, you have now the ends of the tie. Right? When you tie it, it doesn't totally fuse and merge, but rather you're going to have these ends which are sticking out. V'karlu koitzin, the reason why they're called koitzin, which of course means thorns, al shim shebolten ki koitzin. Anybody that looks at the weaving loom, where all of the other threads are nice and beautiful, exactly in formation, doing a great job, and right over here there's this damage, if you will, where you had to go and tie two ends of threads together, it protrudes like thorns. That's why it got its name. But again, if you are, you have your four-cornered beged, you've taken it off the weaving loom, you decide that you need tzitzis, and it turns out that these two edges from the chassis happen to be there on the bottom of the beged. And you say to yourself, hey, that's great. Instead of cutting them off, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use those towards my tzitzis. Or min ha-nimen. What a nimen? Nimen, that's the next Rashi. Kigoin talis. Shetafruha. That they sewed. Or she also b'imra. Or they put an edge, a hem at the end. B'machat. With a needle. In other words, this was not part of the weaving. After you wove the full beged, now you're sewing up the bottom of it by making a hem, or you're putting an edge at the bottom. And guess what? After you finished doing all of your sewing, you have some threads which are hanging here, there, and everywhere. And instead of snipping them off with the scissors, you say, you know what? Let's go make tzitzis out of it. Let's go braid them and put them together. Let's make tzitzis. Or min ha-garden. Now we go to an earlier Rashi, a Rashi which is above the min ha-koitzim Rashi. Min ha-garden, finite, which is similar to the word fringes. Shetoylem ha-seif ha-talis, moiser ho-ariga. This is not threads which are hanging from sewing, like we just had now, min ha-nimen. These are threads which are hanging from the weaving. You took the garment off the weaving loom, and now you have the threads hanging down at the bottom, and you have to do something with those. Either you have to snip them off, or you have to tie them up, or you have to somehow sew it into the beged. And he says, you know what? Let's use these for the tzitzis. What's the problem? The problem is that you have to have taliyah lishma. Taliyah lishma means that when you are tola, when you put the tzitzis on the beged, you have to put it on the shame, the mitzvah of tzitzis. But these fringes, or these threads, or strings which are hanging down, have nothing to do with the mitzvah of tzitzis. It just happens to be a byproduct of the weaving and the sewing process. And therefore, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, the psula, they're possible. Not that they're intrinsically or inherently possible. You could snip them off and put them back on as tzitzis. But if they came on naturally as part of the weaving or sewing process, no good. Because the tliya means the hanging of the tzitzis, inserting them into a hole and putting them on the baguette, has to be done lishma. However, Rav holds that the actual spinning of the thread does not have to be done lishma. In other words, when the person was taking the wool off the back of the sheep, and then after carding it, and scraping it, and soaking it, and cleaning it, and brushing it, and now you make a tviya, you go and spin it into thread, that doesn't have to be done lishma. And therefore, says Rav, min hasisin. What means min hasisin? Sisin means a spool of thread. Rashi says, pikiois kadurios shelchut. Kadurios like a kadur, like a ball. Pikiois are these spools that you, if you ever want to buy thread, you get a spool of thread, as you know. So, you can take any spools of thread, whether it's white, green, yellow, orange. Okay, let's not talk about the colors, but the point is, it doesn't have to be done lishma. You can just buy any spool of thread. Why? Because Rav holds the tliya, putting on the tzitzis on the beged, requires lishma, but the thread itself does not have to be spun lishma. So this is what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Now, as everybody knows, we find many times throughout Gemara that Rav Yehuda is quoting Rav, and very often Rav Yehuda is quoting Shmuel. And the reason for that is because Rav Yehuda originally was a Talmud of Rav, and when Rav passed away, Rav Yehuda moved over to the Beis Medrash of Shmuel. And Shmuel would frequently say to Rav Yehuda, tell me, what did your Rebbe, what did Rav say about halacha A, B, C, D, etc.? So, says Rav Yehuda, ki amrita kamer Shmuel, when I repeated this halacha of Rav in front of Shmuel, amali, af menasisim nami psula. I disagree with Rav. I agree on the first part, on the koitz and nimen and garden, that those are possible, because you have to have taliya lishma. But I hold that even from the sisim is possible to be in a taviya lishma. Taviya means to go and spin the thread into kosher thread for purposes of the tzitzis. It has to be done lishma. Okay, so the only machloket between Rav and Shmuel is whether you need, in addition to taliya lishma, whether you also need taviya, that spinning and producing the yarn, producing the thread, where that has to be done lishma. But at least part of it has to be done lishma. That tliya, the hanging of the tzitzit, has to be done lishma. And if that's the case, Frank Tiamara, why does Beis Hill hold that you don't need the asiyas sukkah lishma? Hakanami niboye sukkah asuya lishma manishtana, the sukkah from the tzitzit. Zokti Yomara. Shani Hasim the Yomakra. There, when it comes to tzitzis, is a special gzeder sakosif. It said in the pasuk, Gedilim tasa loch al arba kamfis ksuscha asher techasaba. Gedilim tasa loch. It's darshi the Yomara. Loch means l'shem choivach. Choivach means your requirement. Every yid in Klal Yisrael is required to put tzitzis on his four-cornered beged. So therefore it's a choiva, you gotta do it. And the Gemara is telling us, that's pshat in the pasuk, gedilim ta'asaloch, when you are making the gedilim, you are putting on the tzitzis on the bottom of the beged, as well as according to Shmuel, when you're spinning the thread, those gedilim, those fringes, those strings, have to be made loch l'shem choivach, not just tam. Did you go and buy strings anywhere and just string it on? And that's no good, according to Shmuel. Or that you have these loose threads hanging down. That's no good. It's got to be made l'shem choivach for purposes of your choiva, of your mitzvah. Ah, so that's why there's a special din by tzitzis that does not apply to sukkis. One second. Hachanami, Chagas Sukkos, Tasa L'choshev Asyamim. Say the same drasha. L'cho L'shem Choivcha. It's got to be for your Choivcha. Exactly the same word. Here it's lach, here it's lecha, but it's the same thing, that it's got to be made l'shem, the choyv l'shem, the mitzvah. So you should say that Beis Hillel holds like Beis Shammai, make the sukkah l'shma. Everything when Ahuvi boi leilim ute gizula. That chag sukkah is tas l'cha, comes to go and exclude gizula, that you're not allowed to go and use a stolen sukkah. What exactly is the definition of a stolen sukkah? We're going to have later on in our Masechta. Does that mean that a person took a sukkah, threw out the balbatim, and moved it? Or does it mean that he stole the wood and the schach, and he used it for his sukkah? Regardless, there is this halacha of sukkah gzula is pasul. How do I know it's pasul? From this pasuk, from chag sukkah's tasel cha. It's got to be yours, and not a stolen sukkah. So therefore I cannot use that lecha to tell you l'shem chayivcha, because I need it for another drasha. So for ekti mora hasanami mivoy le'lamute gezula. Why don't I say the same thing l'gabi the tzitzis? Gedilim ta'asel loch. Make sure that this is your beged, your tzitzis, and not stolen tzitzis. So vaita, I don't have an extra limud to tell us that it has to be l'shma by tzitzis. To go and lemute, to exclude gezula, for that I have another pasuk. Says, we say this, of course, every day in Kriya Shema, third parsha. What means lahem? Mishalahem. It's got to be from their own materials, from their own money. It cannot be gezula, it cannot be stolen. Oh, so to take care of gezula, I already have the asulahem. So what do I do now with Gedilim Ta'asel Lach? That tells you, Lach L'Shem Choyvcha, for your, L'Shem Choyvach, for your Choyv, for your requirement of Tzitzis, it's got to be L'Shem for that purpose. It's got to be L'Shma. But by Sukkot, I only have one Pasuk. I don't have two Pasukim. I only have the Chag Sukkot Ta'asel Lach. That Lach is L'mute Gezula. And therefore I don't have an extra Pasuk to tell you the din of L'Shma, according to Beis Hillel. So bottom line is, we conclude this sugya, that according to Beis Shammai, you have to have a sukkah l'shem sukkis, and stam asukkah made within 30 days before sukkis is assumed to be l'shem sukkis. Why else would he be building it within the 30 days before sukkis? So therefore it's implicit, even without an express declaration, that it's l'shem sukkis. That's why it's kosher. If you want to make your sukkah before 30 days, it's okay, says Beis Shammai. But make sure you make a statement. Hinni mukhanam zuman, I am preparing this sukkah for sukkis. Then it's good. Otherwise, it's not good. Well, according to Beis Hillel, you never need a sukkah l'shem sukkis. If you happen to have four-walled shed or shack or hut that has kosher schach on it, great! That's beautiful. You don't have to officially declare, I hereby solemnly declare that you are a sukkah. You can use it with l'shem sukkahs. We did bring yesterday from the Rabbeinu Tam that if the schach on top of the sukkah was put up, for instance, by a non-Jew, then a yid should go and shokel it, he should pick it up and put it down again, because the non-Jew is a lav bar chiyuv. But other than that, even a sukkah which is ancient, made many years ago, and even if it was made by a non-Jew, and it was not made for sukkahs, it was made for a shed for storage, or for a picnic for the summers, says Beis Hillel, it's kosher. That's a kosher sukkah. Why is that different than the tzitzis that have to be made lishma? Oh, because tzitzis have a special pasuk, gedilim tas aloch, but I don't have such an extra pasuk by the mitzvah of sukkah. And now we start on a brand new issue. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, on the case of the tzitzis, I understand if someone was weaving a garment, found the leftover threads, he couldn't use those angling threads to now wind them up and braid them for the same tzitzis. But if someone like Hachila, knowing how to weave a garment, knowing how to fabricate a garment, said, I'm going to make this garment, and I'm going to leave it so that there will be extra strings, leaving and dangling from the ends that I will now use for tzitzis. Why wouldn't that be kosher?
Perhaps it would be. Perhaps it would be. I was talking about a normal situation where you just have the dangling extra threads from the weaving and from the sewing process. However, it could very well be you'd have to go and check the Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch, if the he's a professional weaver or professional seamstress, or not he, but if he's a tailor and he always has these threads, and he says, the boys say, I want you to know that at the end of this beggar there are going to be tons of threads. I want to use them for tzitzis. And I'm having in mind, and hini muchan amazuman, and ribayno alamim, and he makes all types of them, the shem yichud. And he says that, could very well be that that would work, in fact, as you suggest. Yes, Phil, I see you have a question.
All right, thank you. When the Gemara says there's only one pasuk, and we want to say you can't have a solo sukkah, and also whether the materials have to be lishma, why? All right, so I understand there's one pasuk, you can't use it for both. Why choose stolen sukkah to use that pasuk for, and not use it in the same way we did to tzitzis, and then say, well, we don't have a pasuk to say you can't have a stolen sukkah? Why would it go one way and not the other?
That's a very good question. And the answer is it's all mesoira. Mesoira means, like we started on Pirkei Avos, that Moshe throughout the generations. The Gemara has written down in written form what was a verbal tradition all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu, that this pasuk you have to darshan, you can darshan it, and you can only darshan in one way, and the Masoida was that the way you darshan this pasuk is to tell you the Mutei Gezula and not to tell you the din of Lishma. That was the Masoida, that was the tradition. But without that tradition, if we lost that tradition, you would say, Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. How do I know you do it this way as opposed to the other way? Shukur. And we continue on next Mishnah.
Yep.
Yes, Brother Shai.
The scroll brings down, aside from that issue of a Gentile making the putting the stock on, he says, those were supposed to be shaman, but nevertheless, a minor judgment to be made the stock for that purpose. It is sufficient simply to lift and replace an area of sock measuring a tefach, or to lift a thin line of sock. But he says, just in general, if the sock was there, not just as part of a hillel from before the chag, it wasn't down the shema. He said there still should be made adjustment. Even if he doesn't necessarily cite that it had to be put down by your non-Jewish worker.
What you're referring to in the article is the top toises. If you see here in Tess Amid Aleph, before we turn the Amid, you see the top toises. Suki Yishona Beisil Machshirin. Pirushalmi Tani Tzorach Lechadish Bodover. That you have to go and do some sort of chidush. Chavraya Amrin Tefach. Rabbi Yosi Omer Kol Shul. Uman Diyama Kol Shul Bavachitei Alpnei Kula. In other words, each do something to go and show something, but it's not that it has to be done Lishma, but you do, as you see here, something, or a tefach, etc. Whether that's brought lahalacha, I don't know. You'd have to check it out. But I would not be surprised if people would go and give a shochel to the schach just to go and I'm sorry? Okay, good. So if you have an old shed that you want to go and use now for sukkahs, make sure that you go and shochel a little bit here or there or everywhere to go and show that you're using l'shem schach. Yes, the schach. Yeah, the schach. The schach. The schach on top. Push it back. Push it up. Push it back. Etc. Good. Zuk the Mishnah. Thank you very much, Brother Shai. Zuk the Mishnah. Ho isa sukosi tachas o ilon kilo aso betoicha bayis. Person who makes a sukkah underneath a tree, it's as if he did it betoicha bayis. Meaning, as we know that all of our schach comes initially from a tree, we put the bamboo, or we put the branches, etc. But that's because it's tolush. When it's mechubah lekarka, when it's attached to the ground, it's attached to the tree, it's no good. So if you make a sukkah underneath an ilon, and we'll see in the Gemara, we're talking about even if you have kosher schach on the top of your sukkah, but you have as well the ilan, which is pasalus schach on top of your sukkah, that will pasal the sukkah down below. We'll see more about this, the details, as we get into the Gemara. But the Mishnah says something very interesting. He says if you build it under the tree, it's kilo asur b'toich habayis. It's as if you went and built your sukkah within your house. In other words, inside your living room, you have a large living room, you put up a sukkah, and you put up schach, you did a great job, but the problem is that it's not outside, it's inside. So just like a sukkah inside your house is not kosher, a sukkah underneath an ilan is not kosher. The Gemara is going to wonder, why didn't the Mishnah just simply say, it's possible? Why is the Mishnah dramatizing it and saying, oh, sukkah tach ze ilan is like a sukkah with toich habayis? Mitchell will see that shortly in the Gemara. What happens if you have a sukkah al gabi sukkah, one sukkah on top of another sukkah? In other words, you built your first sukkah, and then you built, you have schach on top of the sukkah, and the schach is must be very strong bamboos, which are being held up by beams, cross beams. So they did a great job in building the sukkah. And now on top of that, they built a second sukkah, all with the dimensions of a sukkah, with schach on top of that second sukkah. It's sukkah al gabi sukkah, who elyoin is ksheira, the one on top is kosher, v'atachtoin is psula, and the one beneath it is posel. The reason for that is, the Gemara will bring a posik that tells you that sukkah tachas a sukkah is no good. But the Gemara is also going to go into four very interesting categories. We're going to go and say that at times you can have a sukkah al gabi sukkah where the Elyon is kosher and the Tachton is posel, like it says in our Mishnah. You can have other cases where the Elyon will be non-kosher and the Tachton will be kosher. You'll have a case where both the Elyon and the Tachton are kosher. And you'll have cases where the Elyon and the Tachton are both posel. Anyway, we're going to have that on the bottom of the Omid, but I figured I would pique your curiosity already now, so that when we get to the bottom of the Omid, oh, I'd like to see more about that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in Ein Diyurin Be'Elyoina, if nobody's living in the sukkah on top, in other words, you built a sukkah on top, but no one is using it, HaTachtoin is Ksheira, the bottom one is kosher. Mietzsche will learn more about Rabbi Yehuda's halacha on the Omer Aleph tomorrow, but basically what the Gemara is going to conclude, not in Ein Diyurin Be'Elyoina, but rather that the bottom sukkah's schach cannot support Diyurin Be'Elyoina. If you want to go and put up a sukkah on top, if it's not ro'ui l'dira, because people would fall through, then it would just collapse. Then the tachton is kosher, because even though there is that structure there on top, but it's not usable. Since it's not usable, it's deemed to be non-existent. That's why the tachtoina would be kosher under those circumstances. But let's wait until we get to Rabbi Yehuda tomorrow in the Amud Aleph. Zokti Mar Amar Rava, we started off that if you make a sukkah tachas ilan, it's posel. Zokti Rava lo yishonu elu be'ilan shetzilosei meruba mechamosei. We're talking about a situation where the ilan has tons of leaves and branches, so that if you were to remove the schach from the sukkah, the ilan's schach itself, meaning the natural ilan itself, provides you with ample shade on top of the sukkah, and therefore it's posel, because all of that schach is posel as schach. What happens if it's one of those types of trees where there aren't a lot of branches or a lot of leaves, there's only sparse leaves or sparse branches, then the chama, there's lots of sun coming in as a result, that's what it means, that it's sparse, then it's ksheira, then it's kosher. The Gemara will explore this a little bit more in another moment. But in the meantime, the Gemara wants to know, where does Rava take this from? After all, it just says in our Mishnah, if you build a sukkah tachas ilan, it's no good. So why does Rava distinguish, or what's the basis of Rava's distinction between whether the ilan has tons of tzeil, tons of shade, or if it doesn't? So the Gemara, how does Rava know this? Says Yimon Meriktoni, because since the Mishnah uses the expression that if you build a sukkah tachas ilan kilasa b'teich habayis, lomalila misti kilasa b'teich habayis. Why is the Mishnah getting so dramatic that it's as if you made it b'teich habayis? Let's simply say, listi psula, let's say that it's possible, period. But it's not just the drama of the extra words that is kilu b'teich habayis. But Rashi points out, if you skip ahead to three quarters down the Amud, you see you have a braisa tonu rabbanon, you see the parentheses, basukais teishvu shivas yamim, says the Gemara, lo yisukka tachas a sukkah, v'lo yisukka shetachas a ilon, oh, ar halacha, sukka shetachas ilon, no good, v'lo yisukka shetbetrech habayis, and a sukkah underneath a house or inside a house is also no good. So the Gemara is asking, why does the Mishnah Why is it Tola, the case of Sukkah Tachas Ilan? And say, it's just like the Sukkah Tachas Abayis, and B'toich Abayis. And guess what? Those are both exactly on the same level that we darshan both of them from this word, Basukas Teishvu. And that being the case, why is the Basukah B'toich Abayis more a Dover Poshut than the Sukkah Tachas Ilan that were being told of one and the other? Were saying, oh, you made a Sukkah under an Ilan. It's like you made a Sukkah B'toich HaBayis. Making a Sukkah B'toich HaBayis is like making a Sukkah Tachas Ilan. I mean, why is one better than the other? That the Gemara uses this as, oh, it's just like that other guy. They're both possible. And that's the Gemara's kasha. Let it say Psula. And for the Gemara, Elohokamashwan, says Rava, back to the top, Elohokamashwan, the Ilan Dumya the Bayis. The purpose of the Mishnah, Rebbe is telling us in a very subtle way that Ilan and Bayis for these purposes are the same. What does that mean? Ma Bayis Tzilosim Merubim Mechamos, just like a house. Assuming the house is properly constructed and there are no leaks in the roof. So then the tzel, the ceiling, the gag, the roof, presumably does a good job of giving you lots of shade and protects you from the forces of the sun and the forces of weather and climate. So just like by the bayis, the tzel is meruba mechamosai. Af ilon tzulosai meruba mechamosai. There too we're talking about that the tzel is meruba mechama, and because of that, that's why it passes the sukkah. However, if the ilon had only a sparse amount of leaves and branches, then it would not passel the sukkah. Why doesn't it passel the sukkah? Even if you're telling me that it's chamosai, merubah mitzilosai, fine. Why does Rava say that that's kosher? L'choira, it's being mitzitarif with the schach kosher, which is on top of the sukkah, and it's passeling it. So now, we have to add a little explanation over here. The Tap Toisis explains that the Gemara must be talking about that the amount of schach on top of the sukkah was insufficient. That too was chamosai meruba meitzilosai. And therefore, if there were no tree, this would not be a kosher sukkah because there isn't enough schach. So what did the person do? He built it underneath the tree, and although the schach hamechuber of the ilan, the non-kosher schach, although it was sparse, however, if you added the sparse posela schach of the ilan and the sparse kosher schach on top of the sukkah, the two together gave you plenty of shade in the sukkah. And therefore, that's what the Gemara's kasha is. Why are you telling me that if the tree has sparse branches, it's kosher? The only way there's shade inside the sukkah is by being mitzarif, by joining the schach posel of the ilan and the schach kosher of the tree, and therefore 50% or more of the schach is non-kosher schach. Non-kosher schach is as if it's not there, because you can only use kosher schach, and therefore it should be possible. So, Rava, why does Rava say only by the ilan should tzilosei merubah mechamosai? Even if chamosai merubah tzilosai, you should be possible, if the sukkah down below requires that additional shade from the tree. Everything ma'om rapapa, bishachovton. It's talking about a situation that you push down the branch of the tree so that it is covered by the layer of schach of the sukkah. In other words, it's not a situation where you might have been thinking in your mind that this tree is another 5 or 10 or 20 feet higher than the sukkah. But in fact, the schach of the sukkah hits the tree. Hits the tree in the sense that the branches of the tree are right above the sukkah. So Bishchofta means he goes and pushes them down, and he puts the kosher schach on top of them. So now I have a combination of the schach posel and the schach kosher on top of the sukkah, and it's talking about that there was at least 51% kosher schach, and only 49% of the tree schach, of the posel schach. How does that help? Says Rashi, it will help mishum bitul. It's going to be bottle beroiv, and it's going to be mitzdarif. If you look at the Rashi b'shechovton, Rashi is roughly 15 lines from the top of the omid, 10 lines into the narrow lines. B'shechovton. Says Rashi, hishpil. Hishpil means to lower, to put down. Enough of the branches, lamata, beneath the schach, so that they're now mu'uravim im schach kosher. It's indistinguishable. They nirin ba'ayin. You cannot tell unless you climb up the tree or you climb up a ladder to look at what's going on above. Otherwise, you don't even notice what's going on because they are mu'urav, they're indistinguishable. Uschach kosher rabba olav, and it's talking about that there's at least 51% kosher schach. So you have a roiv, umavatla, and it's mevatel the non-kosher schach of the tree. The midraisa kol mili batel beruba. We have a din of bittel beroyf. Kitnam b'masnisin. Imoya schach sikuch. Meruba mehen is ksheira. If the sikuch is meruba mehen, meaning that it's the roiv, and the postle schach is the miyut, you mitzdar of the roiv and the miyut, and it's kosher. But only if they become indistinguishable. If you had a portion of kosher schach, and then you have a portion of non-kosher schach, and you can tell that the non-kosher schach is non-kosher, it would not become batel, because it's separate and it's distinguishable. It is discernible. You can discern that this is non-kosher. So if you mashpil it and you mix it, then it's kosher. Ah, that's what Rav is coming to tell you. When Rav has said, it says in the Mishnah, if you make a sukkah tachas ilan, it's like making a betoich habayis. That's only because we're talking about a sukkah that has thick schach, silose meruba mechamosoi, that passes the sukkah down below because of this tremendous amount of non-kosher schach. But if it was only a sparse amount of non-kosher schach, because chamosoi meruba mechamosoi, and if choftan, if you knocked it down, you lowered it, be beneath the regular schach of the sukkah, so that it becomes indistinguishable, then you could be mitztaref posel schach with kosher schach, and it would be kosher. Frey Timura, Ibishachov to Maile Memra, based on the way you've portrayed and put this all together, L'choyitzer Dova Poshet, we know that Roiv is mavatel a miut when it's indistinguishable, and over here you can't tell the difference between those branches that you cut off from the tree before and those branches which are still on the tree. It all looks exactly the same. So of course it's kosher. What's the chiddush of Rava? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Says the Ma'od, the same in Nigzer Hecha de Chavton, Ata Hecha de Loi Chavton. I would think that we should make a Gzeira, because after all, if you're going to tell people, yes, you can mix the branches of the tree, you don't have to cut them off. You can leave them on the tree and mix it with the kosher schach, and that will be kosher. If we leave out the word indistinguishable, then the person will think, well, what difference does it make? I put it on the kosher schach on top, I put the kosher schach on the bottom. I can distinguish, I can't distinguish. Bottom line is, I can be mitzdarif bad schach with kosher schach, and therefore people might be misled and use the mechuber schach of an ilan on top of your sukkah. When you have a tree on top of the sukkah, you didn't mix and match it, you didn't go and do a hishpilon chofton, pushing him down. You can easily discern that this is tree and this is schach. That would be possible. So I should be goyzer one case for the other. Kamash malandaloi gozrinan. I'm not goyzer. Vaytimor hanami tanina. This halacha that you've told me now about that you can go and push it down, and I'm not gozer, I have exactly the same case in a Mishnah, which you're going to have in another couple of days. Which state in the Mishnah? Hitler there as a gef and vias ad the last vias a kisoim. So kisoim or kisus? Kisus. V'sikach al gabon psula. You have a sukkah, and your sukkah is right next to a vine of a vineyard. And you take the gef and that vine from the vineyard, and you let it hang on top of the four walls of the sukkah. Vias ad the last. Ad the last is a gourd. And we're not talking about the gourd itself, but we're talking again vines upon which the gourds grow. Apparently they also have vines similar to those of grapes. And you put those again over the sukkah. V'yasakisus, another type of a vegetable or fruit or something. Oh, no, I'm sorry. kisus is ivy, which is Rashi says esev hamispashet ma'oit b'shirosh of ki'ilan the ikra ki'ilan. We're talking about a very low lying grass mispashet ma'oit, which grows very very quickly and spreads, which is similar to ivy that you have some of the West Side buildings. If you ever noticed on the corner of 91st Street and West End, the building right next to the Kollel. Kollel is the middle building, and this is the corner building. Corner building has beautiful ivy, which is growing up the side, and you have people that constantly come over and take pictures. You can take a look at it if you never noticed it. The landlord is probably upset because the ivy probably, to a certain extent, undermines the concrete and the rest. But that's not our concern now. The point is that we're talking about ivy. So if you took ivy and you, again, looped it over your sukkah, all of those, of course, are non-kosher schach because they're all mechuber lekarka. V'sikach al gabon, if you put schach on top of them, it's psula because it's non-kosher schach, even though you have kosher schach. And you have non-kosher schach, but doesn't do it, it's still possible. However, v'mho yisikach harbe mehen. What happens if, or in other words, if your schach was greater than the amount of those, the gef and the delach horses? The sikuch was greater, in other words, it was the roiv. Or you should cut the son. Or, of course, you can always cut the gef and the las and kisus so that they are now going to be kosher schach. They'll no longer be mechuber. They'll now be tolush, kosher schach. That is kshay. So now let's understand. The first case when he says that im hoye sikuch harbe mehen, that if you had more schach than you had vines from the grapevines or from the gourds or from the ivy, what's the case? Are we talking about that he did not push it down to mix the two together? So then, how does this work? Why are you telling me that it's kosher? How come it's tzar schach poslim schach kosher? If you can discern that part of your schach is non-kosher schach, you see it with your own eyes, that the vine is still attached to the vineyard, to the ground, as well as the vine of the gourd, as well as the ivy, you see that it's still growing and it's still part of the ground. And you could tell. And then, of course, the schach is going to be possible. Oh, it's a case like we said before, that you pushed it down in such a way that you merged the kosher schach with the non-kosher schach so that they're now indistinguishable. What's the halacha? Shteitach in the Mishnah, then it's kosher. Ushma mino, so what do I learn from this? The loy gozrin and not gozer. Kishachovton otu kishaloychovton. Why do we have two Mishnayas to repeat the same halacha? Everyone, I'll tell you why. Now to say manimili v'diyavet. That Mishnah is only talking about hidla oleo as a geffen. If someone put the geffen on. If you would have asked me, you would have told him, don't put the geffen on. But he did it. Hidlo las a geffen. And then he put in the kosher schach. And he mixed the two. I would say, you know why it's kosher? V'diavet. But don't do something like that. Kamashlan, that's why we have a second Mishnah. Our Mishnah that says, you can do it even lichat chila. Now note, our Mishnah is talking about oisis ukosi tachas ilan. We're not talking about that the Mishnah says, yicholim lasos, you're allowed to go and build the sukkah tachas ilan. It also sounds like a b'diavet, a person who made a sukkah, he built it underneath the ilan. And then he discovered that the ilan was chamosoi, yiseira me tzilosoi, or meruba me tzilosoi, and therefore that he can go and mix it by pushing it down and putting schach on top. It also sounds like a case of a b'diavet. If he made the sukkah tachas ilan, if you would have asked the Rav might have told him, Mister, there's a tree there, stay away. Stay away from Shilas. Build your sukkah further down. Don't build the tachas ilan. You're just going to get into problems. So that sounds also like a b'diavet. But perhaps what the Gemara means to say is that since I have two separate Mishnayos, why would Rebbe tell us both halachas exactly the same? That you're allowed to mix and match pasul eschach with kosher eschach as long as they become indistinguishable. Must be that if it only would say one time, I would say that's b'diavet. It says it two times to tell you even lechatchila you're allowed to do something like that, and you don't have to be concerned. Kamash malan. That's why I have the two mishnayos to tell you that you're allowed to do this even lechatchila.
Isn't there a question, a case of ravam and isul lechatchila? if you're mevatel, not boshet sach, with boshet sach, being mevatel the chatzila, isn't that prohibited?
I believe you'd have to check it out with the meforshim, but I believe the din of mevatel istel chatzila is only when it talks about an iser that you're going to ingest or imbibe, meaning that you're taking nevela meat and you're throwing it into your chulent, figuring that that's going to be a miut. You have a large chulent pot, which will have 60 times the amount of your nevela meat. You throw nevela meat, you're being mevatel isel chachel. Because that's an isur. Here we're not talking about schach, which is osir. We're talking about schach, which is posel. If you make a sukkah and you put tons of non-kosher schach on it, you're not over any iser. You just cannot use the schach. It's not a valid sukkah for sukkah's purposes. But you haven't been over any iser. The mevatlin iser is only when you're talking about a dover osir, like nevela, like chazer, something like that. You're not allowed to go. It's inherently osir. Getting back to what David was saying before, the gavra and the chafza, which I know, Barry, you like as well. If you're talking about that the chafza is a dover iser, dvar iser, like nevela meat, that can be mevatlin chetchila. Schach, even if it's non-kosher schach, the chafza is possible, but it doesn't affect me, just that I cannot use the sukkah. So I'll move on to the next street, I'll use somebody else's sukkah. Don't steal it. You can ask him if I can use his sukkah, because your sukkah is possible. But you're not being mevatel and isur. Okay, right, we said in the Mishnah, sukkah al-gabi sukkah, the elyon is kosher, the tachton is possible. How do I know? Tanur Rabbanan, it says in the pasuk, basukah is teshuv. Now the reason why there's a parenthesis around basukah is not because we're taking the word out, but taking the word out in the form that it is spelled. Because in the pasuk it says basukois without a vav. This is similar to what we spoke about a couple of days ago, the machloikis where the yesh aim the mikra, yesh aim the mesoides. But our Gemara doesn't go into that. Toises Grada does refer to it on the bottom of the Amud. But for our purposes, all we need to know is these, with the word basukois in the parentheses, read it basukas. And what the Gemara is telling us is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to write the word basukois without a vav, so that you should understand this word as meaning a singular sukkah and not as a plural sukkah? And therefore it's telling you v'loy b'sukkah shetachas ha-sukkah, because that would be two sukkois. And with the Torah says basukas teshuv, sit in one sukkah, don't sit in two sukkois, one on top of the other. It's got to be an independent sukkah on its own, not inside a house, not under a tree, not underneath another sukkah. Frank the Gemara, Adarab, just the opposite. Basukois darti mashma. Since you read it basukois as if it had a vav, so then doesn't that mean you have multiple sukkahs? So at the very least, a sukkah tachas a sukkah should be great. Amar Nachma Yitzvot basukasksiv. That's again the reason why the girsa on top, basukois, should be written without the vav, to stress and to dramatize, emphasize that it does not say basukois, it's written basukas, even though we read it basukois. And the reason why we write it basukas is to tell you one sukkah and not sukkah tachas hasukkah. So that was the halach of our Mishnah, that's why the elyon would be kosher. Because as long as the elyon is strong, you can sit there, you can lie there, you can eat there. It's a kosher sukkah. Of course, it has to be within 20 amos from the ground, but your average sukkah is only 5 or 6 amos tall. Maybe not even, right? The average sukkah is 8 feet tall, 9 feet tall, 10 feet tall. So, put another, that's only 5 amos. So put another 5 amos, another sukkah on top. So, the sukkah on top is great. The sukkah underneath is no good because it's a sukkah tachas a sukkah. That's our Mishnah. Om Rabbi Yirmiyah. As you recall, Rabbi Yirmiyah always asks interesting shailas to kind of liven things up in the Bais Medrash. So here Rabbi Yirmiyah doesn't ask a shaila, but Rabbi Yirmiyah tells us, Rabbi, when you see in the Mishnah that El Yoinek Sheira V'Tachtoinek Psula, it really depends on the circumstances. Because that's not always going to be the case. And Rabbi Yirmiyah goes through it. It's very, very straightforward, very simple. It says, Rabbi Yirmiyah, pa'omim shishtein ksheirois. Sometimes both the upper sukkah and the lower sukkah will be kosher. Even though we said in the pasuk, v'loy b'sukkah tachas ha-sukkah. Pa'omim shishtein psuleis. Sometimes both of them will be possible. Sometimes the bottom one will be kosher. It will be the elyon which is posel, just the opposite of our Mishnah. And finally, pa'am shetachtoin psula. I'm sorry, pa'am. I skipped. Pa'am shetachtoin psula v'elyon ekshera. That's the case of our Mishnah. Elyon ekshera v'tachtoin psula. Pa'am sheshtein ekshera. And sometimes both of them will be kosher. So bottom line is sometimes both are kosher. Sometimes both are posel. Sometimes the top one is kosher and the bottom is posel. And sometimes the top one is posel and the bottom one is kosher. Hey, chidami, explain what are the cases. And the cases are very straightforward. Keep going. Shetachtoina chamosa meruba mitzilosa. Okay, I'm sorry. I repeated the words. Reb Yirmiya says, pa'am shetachtoin ksheirois, pa'am shetachtoin psulois, pa'am shetachtoin ksheirois, yoni psula, pa'am shetachtoin psula, yoni ksheira. Period. Zokdimar. How do you have that both of them are kosher? Kigoin. Shetachtoina chamosa meruba mitzilosa. The bottom one, the chama meruba mitzilosa. So let's think about that for a moment. If the tachtoina would be on its own, it would not be a kosher sukkah. Because it's talking about that the chama is meruba mitzilosa. The sukkah, the schach on top of the sukkah is sparse. There's too much sun coming in, so the chayit should be possible. But elyoina tziltzum ruv mechamos. Okay, the elyoina is fine. That's great because it has more tzeil than chama. That's a perfect sukkah. So, but how does the bottom sukkah get kosher? The kaim elyoina b'toich esrim, since both of them happen to be within 20. The bottom one, of course, is, but the top one is as well, which is not difficult to conceive because a sukkah on top of a sukkah should most likely be within 10 amis, 11 amis, 12 amis, far from 20 amis. So what's happening is that the schach of the upper sukkah is going to kasher the schach of the bottom sukkah. Meaning, since both of the sukkahs are within the 20 amis, so no problem, I have multiple layers of sukkah, the upper schach on the top sukkah is going to combine with the schach of the lower sukkah to make the sukkah's shade below also kosher. So even though on its
own... What about the floor?
What about what floor?
What's the floor of the upper sukkah?
The floor of the upper sukkah is the schach. The schach of the bottom sukkah is the floor of the top sukkah. Just like people who live in buildings on the second floor, the ceiling of the first floor is the floor of the second floor. So the schach of the bottom sukkah is the floor of the top sukkah. I know you're telling me that usually if you'd stand on top of the schach, it would collapse. We're talking about that there are very nice strong beams
yes.
from one end of the sukkah to the other end of the sukkah, which are holding the schach up. And these beams are so strong, we're talking about, of course, wooden beams. We're not talking about metal beams. The wooden beams, so the ma'amid is kosher, and the schach is kosher, and a person can stand on top of the schach without falling through. And therefore, both the bottom sukkah is kosher and the top sukkah is kosher. But that's what Rav Yehuda said in the Mishnah. If a person cannot live on the in the top sukkah, because as you're pointing out, the schach is such that you would fall through, then that top sukkah is considered kamisha eino, and only the tachton will be kosher and not the elyon, because the elyon is not kosher for sukkah. You cannot use it for a sukkah because it's ein diurim. But that's Mitchum tomorrow's Gemara. Beginning back again to our Gemara here. We're talking about that the sukkahs, the bottom sukkah's chach, is strong enough to be not only a ceiling to the bottom sukkah, but also a floor to the upper sukkah. So that being the case, the tachtoin schamos merubit zilasa, there's just not enough schach to fill up all the holes. But the elyoina has plenty of schach. Therefore, the elyoina schach is going to kasher the bottom schach. But it's got to be, of course, the elyon betoich esrim. Because if the elyon was lamala mi esrim, then that itself would be posel schach. Like we had in the first Mishnah of our Nesechta. And therefore, both of them will be kosher, the top sukkah and the bottom sukkah. Sometimes both of them will be possible. Hey, chidami. He's going to travayu tzilsa meru mechamasa. The bottom one has good sail. The top one has good sail. But the kaim el yoyne lamala mi esramama. The upper sukkah is higher than esramama. And so therefore, that sukkah, of course, is possible by the fact that the schach is lamala miyasramama. That's the first Mishnah in our Masechta. That'll be possible. Why is the bottom one possible? Because of the halacha, it's a sukkah tachas a sukkah. Why is a sukkah tachas a sukkah? Because this sukkah is a kosher sukkah on its own. It has tzila meruba mechamasa. And the top sukkah is tzila meruba mechamasa. It's a perfect example of a sukkah tachas a sukkah, and that's the drasha. So why didn't we say that in the first case, that the bottom sukkah is beneath an upper sukkah, and therefore it should be possible? Because the bottom sukkah on its own wasn't a kosher sukkah. The bottom sukkah on its own was without kosher schach, it was chamasa meruba mitzilasa. So it's as if you're building the upper sukkah on an upraised platform, putting it on a bleachers. It wasn't on the ground, it was raised up. But the bottom sukkah was not kosher. So it's not a sukkah, tachas a sukkah. How did it become sukkah? How did it become kosher? Because the upper schach is going to kasher the bottom schach. So it's not because it's a sukkah, tachas a sukkah. It's like having one sukkah with two levels to it. Because the bottom sukkah on its own is not a kosher sukkah independently. It only became kosher because of the tziruf of the schach of the sukkah lamal. Zoki Mora, that's case number two. On the bottom of the omid, pa'om shetachtoin ekshedev al yoin epsula, that the tachton is kosher and the upper one is possible. How is that case? Zoki Mora, hechidam, ikikoin shetachtoin et siltzimaru mechamasa. The bottom one, the tzeil, was perfect. Oh, it was a perfect sukkah. The al yoin was chamasa meru tzilasa. It's not a good sukkah because it's chama meruba. And because this upper sukkah is chamas meruba tzilasa, it's not a kosher sukkah. So the bottom sukkah is not a sukkah tachas a sukkah, it's a sukkah tachas a shek, tachas a hot, but not under a sukkah because it's not a kosher sukkah. The upper one is chamas meruba tzilasa. That's why the tachton would be kosher and the elyon would be posel. And finally, upa'amim shal yonik sher v'tachtoin epsula, that's the case of our Mishnah. Hey chidami, ki going to travayu tziltzimaru mechamosan, both the bottom one, the tail is good, and the top one, the tail is good. V'kaim al yonim b'toich esrim, and the upper one is within esrim, and therefore it is a kosher sukkah. The bottom one is a kosher sukkah independently. It's a classic case of a sukkah tachas a sukkah, and that's why the bottom one is posel. But the Elyon is kosher because it's within 20 from the ground, and its tzeil is perfect, so it's a perfect sukkah. It's just an elevated sukkah, but otherwise it's a kosher sukkah, no problems whatsoever. It comes out from these four cases something very ironic. What comes out very ironic? In this last case, where both the sukkah on top and the sukkah on the bottom, tzilosan meruba mechamosan, both of them should be kosher sukkahs because the tzeil is perfect. There's plenty of schach. No. It's a sukkah tachas a sukkah. The tachtoine is psula. What happens if you remove some of the schach from the lower sukkah? So then it's going to be chamosa meruba mitzilsa. The Gemara said before, then it's going to be kosher. That was the first case. Bam shishteng sheirois. Hey chidami, go back to the Amud Beis. Pam shishteng sheiros. Hey chidami, you're going to tachtoy nechamasa meruba tzilasa. The bottom one, the chama, the schach was sparse. You had more chama than tzeil. The elyoin tzilasa meruba mechamasa, but the upper one was good tzeil. They're both within esrim amma. So why does the how did we kasher the bottom one? I chamasa meruba tzilasa because we utilize some of the schach from the upper one to kasher not only the upper sukkah, but even the bottom sukkah. Because now the bottom sukkah, the people sitting in the bottom sukkah, are getting plenty of tzeil from a combination of their own schach, together with the schach on top. In such a case, both of them happen to be kosher. Why are they both kosher? It's a sukkah tachas a sukkah. No! Because initially it was not a kosher sukkah tachas a sukkah. It only becomes a kosher sukkah as a result of the upper level tzeil. So therefore that's considered to be like one huge sukkah with two levels to it. However, in that case, both of them are kosher. Because of the fact that the bottom one was possible. However, in this final case, because the bottom one is a kosher sukkah, tzilasa meruba mechamasa, boom, it's now going to be possible, because it's going to be sukkah, tachas a sukkah. So that's very ironic. in the four cases. Frankly, Mara, just another 3-4 lines. Frankly, Mara, Pshita, L'chari, you haven't told us any chidushim, Rabbi Yirmiyah. I could have figured this out on my own. The case where the tachlin is kosher and the elyon is posul. What's the reason why that is such a tzrichalei? Because I would have thought nigzer don mitzarif schach posul b'hadi schach kosher. I would say that maybe when the tachlin is kosher and the elyon is posul, meaning that the elyon's schach is sparse, therefore I should go and be mitzarif that sparse to the one below, or could be also tachton ikshir v'elyon epsula. We said the elyon was lamal mi esrim amah. Since lamal mi esrim amah, it's like the schach from the tree, and therefore I would say I'm being mitzarif schach posul about schach kosher and pasul the sukkah down below as well. Kamash malon comes to tell you no, the bottom one remains kosher even though the upper one is possible. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai, and Mir Tashem, this will be tomorrow's daf. Barry is going to be so kind, as he always is, to send out tomorrow's daf from last machzor shortly by email. Sunday we do not have a shiur for.
I just sent it.
Oh, yeshakoyach. See, even before I was able to finish the sentence, Barry already sent it out, yeshakoyach. So that's going to be Shabbos' blot. For Sunday in Miyat Hashem, we're not going to have a shiur because it's Tisha B'Av, as you know. But in Miyat Hashem, we're going to learn Sunday's daf, which is daf Yud Aleph, right? Tomorrow's daf is daf Yud. Sunday's daf is daf Yud Aleph. We're going to learn that in Miyat Hashem on Monday morning. And we're going to have a special, extraordinary session on Monday evening in Mirza Hashem at 7 o'clock, when we're going to learn in Mirza Hashem Monday's daf, so that on Tuesday, Mirza Hashem, we'll be back together with the masses of Jewry throughout the world learning Tuesday's daf on Tuesday. Any questions, everybody say? Hearing none, I want to